Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on March 9, 2025. Our guest speaker is Pastor Doug Liston.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Please stand as you're able. After being filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, Jesus is led in the wilderness. Through his responses to the temptations of the devil, he defines what it means to be called Son of God. A reading from Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus has just finished being baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptizer, when the Spirit that he is so filled with urges him, in fact, almost drives him out into the wilderness. And for 40 days in the wilderness, he fasts and prays. 40 days, that's a really, really long time. I know I can't go more than 1 or 2 days without eating, and I get really crabby. But Jesus, for 40 days in the wilderness, fasts and prays, and is in conversation and communion with the God that created the entire world. And after that 40 days is over, what happens? The text tells us that the devil appeared to him. Now, most of us, when we hear that word, the devil, we picture a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork in one hand, maybe some red horns, and a big curly mustache, right? Nowhere in the text, nowhere in the Bible does it describe the devil in that way. But let's just go on with the idea that the devil is what is out there with Jesus, whether you picture him in a red suit or whether you picture him in a suit and tie or blue jeans or whatever. He's out in the wilderness with Jesus. We know that the devil exists. I know the devil exists because I have experienced very dark times through in my life and in the lives of other people that I know are caused by something evil in this world. And Jesus is experiencing this as well. And the devil comes to Jesus and he says, "I know you're hungry. You've been out here for 40 days. You haven't had a thing to eat. Why don't you tell that rock there to become a loaf of bread?" And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, "Man does not live by bread alone." He's quoting Scripture. He's quoting Scripture right directly into the face of evil. Well, the devil says, "That didn't work. Let's try something else." And boom, he takes Jesus to the
shows Jesus all the principalities and municipalities and all the powers of the world, and he says, all of this is mine, and all you have to do is bow down and worship me, and it'll all be yours. What does Jesus say? We're to worship God and God alone. The devil goes, darn, that's two. Strike two. And then he takes Jesus to the very pinnacle of the temple, the highest spot known at that point in time, and says, Jesus, all you have to do is throw yourself off, and God, the Bible says, God will send his angels to protect you. They'll catch you so that you don't even stub your toe when you hit the ground. What does Jesus do? Again, he quotes scripture to the evil, and he says to the devil, he says, the Bible tells us that you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Each of these instances in which Jesus has been tempted by bread or by power or by fame, because certainly if you threw yourself off the temple and you didn't hit the ground, you'd be famous, right? If each of these things, if you sound kind of like the American way, don't they? Bread, power, fame. They don't sound bad if you put them that way, but Jesus knows that's not what he's called to be about. He's called to be so much more. And our text ends this morning with the statement, the devil departed from him, what? Until a more opportune time. Evil will be coming back to tempt Jesus, to get in Jesus' face. And it tells us that the devil is involved at some point in Jesus' execution. Now, as a Lutheran pastor, I've done a whole lot of baptisms. I intended to sit down this week and count how many, but I never got the opportunity. And in the baptismal rite, it says that I ask you to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? And the person that you're baptizing, or the parents of the person that you're baptizing, are supposed to say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God? I renounce them. If you were baptized, either your parents said that for you, or if you were baptized as an adult, you said those. You agreed to stay away from sin, to shy away from the things that are going to keep you away from God. But it's really tough, isn't it? I often think of the devil not as the guy in the red suit with the pitchfork and the big curly mustache, but as those two little things that sit on your shoulder. One's good, but one is evil, right? And one, when you come across something that you know you're not supposed to do, but you really want to do it anyway, is cheering you on. Yeah, you can do this, that's no problem. But the other one, the voice of good, the voice of God, is talking to you in your other ear saying, no, you know that's not right. You know you're not supposed to do that. But God gives us something called free will, that allows us to make a choice between the one on the one side or the one on the other. And sometimes we fail. We choose the one that's telling us, oh, it's all right. Nobody will ever know. Excuse me, I'm losing my microphone here. There, I'm done, I promise. The other thing that happens in baptisms when you're baptizing a little baby, there's a question that you ask the parents. And in that question are the ways for us to understand and to avoid sin. You ask the parents, as you bring your children to receive the gift of baptism, you're entrusted with responsibilities to live with them among God's faithful people, to bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, to place in their hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture them in faith and prayer so that your children may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others in the world God made, and work for justice and for peace. If we are asked as parents to do those things for our kids, why do you think that is? Why are we asked to live with them among God's faithful people? Because that's one way that we can avoid sin and temptation. And even when we fail, when we do become tempted and fail, the rest of the folks that are around us in God's house can call us on it, can tell us that, no, you shouldn't have done that, and can help us to realize what we have done wrong in our lives. To bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, and to place in their hands the Holy Scriptures. What did Jesus do when he was confronted by those temptations, those things that he knew he shouldn't do? He quoted Scripture. And the only way to quote Scripture is to know Scripture. And Jesus knew his Scripture, and we're called as parents to place in our hands, in our children's hands, the Bible, to encourage them to come to church, to encourage them to pray, to learn the Creed and the Ten Commandments, to nurture them in their faith, in their prayer life. If those are the things that we as adults are asked to do for our children, aren't those the things that we should do ourselves to keep us from walking down the wrong path? To keep us from listening to the wrong shoulder? As we go from here this week, it's my prayer for you that you will seek out ways to avoid temptation. We're not always going to be able to do it, but the promise of God is that even when we mess up, when we listen to the voice on the wrong shoulder, or we listen to the guy in the red suit with the curly mustache and a pitchfork, however you picture it, when we listen to the wrong thing, God promises us forgiveness. All we have to do is repent. All we have to do is say, God, I know I messed up. I'm sorry. I'm going to try harder. And you know what the promise of God in that instance is? You'll get another chance. You get to try again. And you can help fortify yourself in that ability to turn away from temptation by remembering a couple of things. The first one is that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You heard that this past week, right? At the Lenten service, when the pastor marked that ashen cross on your forehead, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. None of us is going to live forever. Not one of us. But the promise of God is that Christ will be with you to walk every step of the way with you through temptation and beyond this world. And the other thing you need to remember are the words that you hear each week in communion. The body of Christ given for you and the blood of Christ shed for you. Those are the means of grace. Those are the means by which your sins, when you do mess up, are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.